Mr. Sherlock Reel 2, we were talking about your time at Bransforth Castle, starting in round about February 1941. How actually were you trained? How did they set about making you into an infantry soldier as opposed to a pay clerk?
Well, starting off with the obvious things by teaching us how to march, to drill. And then, of course, the major thing was weapon training.
Did you, with the drilling, I mean, you're an intelligent man, did you find drill boring, or did you understand the reason for it? Did you know why they were treating, making you drill so much?
Well, I think we were very conscious of the theory that that if you want a good disciplined soldier, you must be chap who's able to accept orders and march about when he's doing, and don't stop when he's doing. But I can't say that even after 6 years that I was ever enamoured of military drill. That doesn't say that I wasn't quite good at it, but I never liked it.
Right. So that's drill. Now, that's to get the discipline, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now, what about, so the next thing was, as you say, weapons training.
Yes.
How did they start you there? Because you'd fired a few shots on the range in the OTC. That was no good to you, you mentioned.
Well, first of all, they taught you to handle a rifle. And, of course, they teach you to handle it in some respect by making you drill with it. But then, having got you drilling with it, they then teach you how to press the trigger, how to aim it. All of these things, and we did a lot of that. And we did that with live rounds on the range quite a lot. And then,
did the method they taught you, was it an effective method? Was it a natural way of holding and firing?
Yes, I think it was effective enough. Repetitive, entirely repetitive. The more they made you do things, the more you did them automatically.
Were you a good shot?
What happens is you get more ear than that.
Your ear. Were you a good shot? Were you a good shot?
Reasonable. I've never, I could be fairly well relied on to get in as much of the time rather than move.
What about other weapons, bayonets?
Oh, that was a rifle. The other major weapon was the Bren gun.
Hang on, before we leave, did they actually bother much with bayonet training at that time? Bayonet training?
Oh, yes. We did a lot of bayonet training in handling, in out on guard. And I think, in some respects, the bayonet training was as much good physical training as it was in actual killing, but certainly at that stage they were still talking in terms of killing with a bayonet.
Did you charge the sacks and that sort of, you know, charging sacks hanging up like they'd done in the First World War? Did you do any of that?
We stuck them into, you know, sacks and things like that. We learned how to kill a man with a bayonet.
Did you actually learn what they called in the First World War bayonet fighting, you know, with the butt coming through and all that sort of thing?
Yes, indeed, yes. In fact, I think our initial training wouldn't be much different from the training at the end of the First World War.
So that's the rifle, the bayonet. Now, the next thing you mentioned was the Bren.
The Bren, which was always taught by these very repetitive methods of the senior NCOs who always knew the Bren gun backwards, but they did it exactly the same way every time. You'd learn the various parts, you'd learn how to put them together, you'd learn everything by numbers, as it were. Again, I think it was successful insofar as if you did things repetitively, you eventually did them without thinking about them.
Do you think Do you think someone yourself might have responded quicker, in actual fact, to more imaginative methods of teaching? Or
well, I think I personally would have responded just as easily and felt felt more at home about it. If having just shown me a pen gun and given it, if they then give me the book to read, I would have done it. Because I've always felt that I could, you know, read something up and then do it.
So you felt they were spouting the manual and you'd have rather been given the manual?
That's right. On the other hand, of course, one's got to say that if you don't have a disposition to keep practicing, you don't think you don't become a black. And so, from that point of view, they may well have been right.
What about actually firing the Bren? Would you get to fire that on the Bren?
Both of that too. And we did a lot of firing, both rifle and Bren, in exercises. Brens, of course, we did on fixed lines so that people didn't get shot. And rifles in exercise were generally done with blanks, of course. But, we did a lot of this, actually, in exercises with live stuff.
I'll come back to the exercise, yeah. But did you get much training in the hand grenades or different types?
Yes. We did hand grenades as well. Mills and 69 were Vega-like grenades.
And would you actually get the chance to throw them?
Yes. We did that from sandbag places, emplacements. And, yes, we did. Taking out the pin and counting some and throwing them. and of course, there was then the Tommy gun. Tommy Johnson.
You actually, they'd
got... We learned that as well.
And that was on your basic training before you got to the 14th?
Yeah, oh, yes, all of it.
What did you think of the Thompson machine gun? The Tommy gun?
It was a good gun, and a good stopping gun.
What do you mean by a good stopping gun?
It was far too heavy for the job, really. The gun that was heavy, really. But you had to carry sufficient ammunition, and then the ammunition was ridiculously heavy. The big, long magazines, which were full of these very heavy bullets.
And you said it was a good...
I can't remember what caliber they were.
You said it was a good stopping gun. What did you mean by that?
I mean, the bullet was a very heavy bullet.
It would stop anyone it hit.
Yes, it would stop anybody. If you were hit with a Thompson submachine gun, you didn't get up. Not quickly.
Any other... had the Sten come in at all, then?
The what?
The Sten gun.
It hadn't come in while we were training, but it did come in during my bit.
What about any other... did you have any gas mask training and gas training? What did that involve?
Plenty of that. Gas masks and gas capes, which we used, I suppose, three or four times during the period there, we would be taken to these training chambers where we had to go through with gas capes on and gas masks. And then we always had periods. Sometimes you'd be sitting doing a Brendan lesson, and you'd say, right, we'll do this one in this gas mask. You put your gas mask on, you sit there for quite a while.
What were they like? No, that's answered my question. Difficult to breathe when you were in them then. Any other weapons or you were taught at that time?
I learned a pistol at ODC, but not there.
What about, so machine guns like the Lewis and the Vickers had gone then? You wouldn't get taught the Vickers?
I certainly saw a Vickers, but I don't remember getting any lessons in it. I certainly saw Vickers while we were there. And of course, we did a certain amount of elementary strategics and tactics and things like that. Nothing very complex. But
now, what about the tactical exercises that you mentioned, the training exercises? What sort of? Could you describe a couple of them?
Yes, well, we would. There were two kinds, of course. There were night exercises, there were daylight exercises.
Let's take the daylight one.
In each case, a company or a platoon, as the case may be, would be set a task of finding another company or platoon and doing something which would demonstrate that they knew how to use the ground and cover, or how to use the terrain generally, in order to either cut them off or capture them, or that sort of thing. And then there was exercise. We sometimes went up way into the hills of Lancaster or something like that, and we would use Lala Mitzvah.
And did you practice methods of attack, you know, the like the First World War rushes?
Yes. Okay.
But battle drill wouldn't have come in then, would it? Or would it? I mean, you know, where everybody knew what everybody else had. And
actually, I'm a little bit uncertain about the order of this. I did lots of battle courses and battle training, but I don't think it was in my initial training.
Right, so you go out into the hills,
yes,
and on various things. How realistic were these exercises in your view? Or your view then, rather than the...
At the depot, I wouldn't have thought that they were terribly realistic. But then in the private shows, are you... You don't know a fact of what's going on. Exercises later on at battle school.
I'll come on to them, yeah.
Much different. But I don't think that there was a lot of realism in the sort of thing we did.
You said part of it of them was to get you fit. Were there any other things that they did to get you into...
We did periods of physical training with the PGI.
Were they sending you on route marches at all? Route marches?
Yes, we did route marches. Maximum length about 25 miles, but they were the big ones. Small route marches were 8-10 miles around the roads near Durham.
So you just march, or was it on the roads usually you'd go, or across the field?
Most of the marches were on the roads, yes. And around Durham.
Round Durham or round Brown?
They did as far as possible, and it's what took you on a round route. We usually took rations with us and stopped halfway and ate. Sometimes it was small packs. In fact, most often it was small packs. But occasionally you did one with large packs.
25 miles is a fair way. Did you have any trouble with your feet?
Personally, no. I've always had very good feet. And I always had was rather proud of the fact that I could put my feet in without a blister. But it largely depends how well you look after your feet. You know, you don't have a lot of trouble with it.
So what did you...
And of course, if I had never been new pair of boots,
So, anything else to your training you can think of while you were at Brandsmouth, the basic training?
Well, that could start my little anecdote. I remember one morning, Bay Parade, the sergeant major said, anybody here, any boxer? And I would be a fairly honest sort of character. I mean, I didn't say anything, but he came down the line, you, and he got to me. I said, well, I've had the good luck which I had. Right, he said, you report to BTI Sergeant Smith down at the gym tomorrow morning. He said it. And good long story short, he trained me to go into the regimental boxing finals, which is where we're some month or so ahead. I was about 9 stones 2 innings, so I don't pay the heavy job. And I was as fourth as a lightweight. And for some reason, I got a bye in the first round. The second round, I came up against a chap whose regular shooter had been the boxing champion for a number of years. And about middle of the second round, he hit me in midship and I went about 2 feet in the end and I went back. But they declared that it was a foul punch and I got the fight. So,
how was it a foul punch?
That was it. I just,
I see, right, yeah.
And then it worked out again. I got another bye. And I found myself in the final of this regimental boxing jump. Well, I managed to last out the 3 rounds. This meant that I was runner up to the champion of the regimental boxing fight. So, this, of course, promptly went on my record. And just shortly after that, I was transferred to the 14th. No sooner I got there, they ended up having their boxing finals. And the company commander said to me, said, oh, I see a boxer. And nothing I could persuade him was that I wasn't a boxer. Again, to cut a long story short, I was in that boxing fight and I got well and truly booked, and that was the end of my boxing career.
Right. Now, just move it before we leave Brandsmouth, finally. Now, you told me about the training, and it seems mainly to have been done by NCOs. Would you see much of your officers, the depot officers, in the training?
I can't say that I was very conscious of the officers there. Most of the training was done by sergeants and sergeant majors. And whereas I do remember one officer we had, and that's if I can remember his name, I can see him now, like, I remember his name, and he must have beaten my platoon sergeant, platoon officer. But I can also remember, purely and simply because they came on parade, major parade, the colonel, whose name was Husted, H-A-S-T-E-D, Husted. And I remember another one, which was simply to go on Husted. But as I say, I think to be perfectly honest, during that initial period of training, I was not terribly conscious of the influence of officers.
How did you get on with the local civilians?
The local
civilians during the period?
All right, I don't think we really had a lot to do with them. We, again, as I say, we seemed to be very busy all the time. If we did have any leisure time or we had a pass, I would send for Reen. And she used to come down from Newcastle to Dublin, we meet there. And probably this chap, Colin Ferry, I'm telling you about, he might join us with his girlfriend. And that was, our sort of activity away from the camp.
Now, you transferred to the 14th, you posted to the 14th, round about the 8th?
Folkestone.
To August, and they were at Folkestone, were they?
They were at Folkestone.
And that was August?
I think it was August. I'm not very... I think I probably could find that out by looking at my bits of paper.
But roughly August 41?
Approximately then.
And had you, was there any choice in this, or you were just presumably posted to the 14th, were you?
No, we had any choice. I just posted.
And as a private?
As a private.
What was your reception when you arrived at Folkestone? How did this, you know, treat you when you arrived and sort you out and put you in a company and the rest of it?
Well, straight away posted to C Company, I think. Chap called Bansell, a Major Bansell. And
what were your first...
I seem to remember that they were a reasonable sort of lot. But there we had huts were looked after by corporate. And I seem to remember a number of occasions when corporals were fairly bullying.
In what way?
Well, they would make it unreasonable duties.
Such as? Sorry, it's a...
You know, you'd get more... You'd get spuds to people when you thought you wouldn't. And I remember over this boxing business, there was one corporal there called, he's a very big chap, but he had been a boxer, and he insisted on he was going to train me, but what he actually did was, he enjoyed getting hold of me and getting me to try and box with him, and give me Johnny good arm. You know, that sort of thing.
Was this particularly directed at you, or was it something that would happen to, you know, bits of bullying off for everybody?
I think there were other people who had, had this sort of bullying directed at them, as well as me. But it was only two or three. Again, the high percentage of the chaps in that platoon were downright a pretty tough crowd. And
did they
bully? Not a tough boy.
Did they bully you at all, or was it the corporal? I mean, you've said it was a corporal.
I don't think they bullied me. No, they. I suppose I didn't. Find it easy to make friends amongst them. But I don't think that they actually were bullying.
Were they unfriendly to you? Do you know what I mean? Were they standoffish with you?
There were odd ones of them who were very friendly. Again, my recollection of names and so on, although faces I can think of, but recollection of names is very bad. But some of them were very friendly. But there were a certain number of them, and I would think that is in the region of about 50% of the platoon, who weren't interested in me particularly. They felt they were a different race. And this more or less persisted until eventually I went to Octune.
Now, before you go there, you were at Folkestone. Whereabouts was this? You were in huts. Whereabouts were these huts? Which area of Folkestone?
Shorncliffe Barracks.
Oh, it was the actual barracks.
Yeah. So,
and what sort of duties were you doing and training with the 14th?
I was doing normal guard duties and things like that. we're doing a certain amount of training and certain amount of exercises. And of course, at that time, we had Monty in that area, and we were doing runs before breakfast and all sorts of things like that. He didn't allow anybody in the division to have any spare time.
Did he ever visit the battalion while you were there?
No, I don't think I don't remember a specific visit by Monty.
Was he popular? Because sometimes, you know, very competent officers become unpopular, especially if they keep everyone on their toes. Was he popular in the unit?
What you could have to, what it was, you could be out on this before breakfast run and you'd come across Monday. And he would, he also expected to see, you know, the colonels and people like that out on these runs, and he would go around looking to see if they were doing their job. So, I can't remember him making what might call an official visit to Shaunton Barracks. And he may well have done, and I don't remember.
Was he popular?
I think the general feeling was that he wasn't popular. You know, people didn't like being messed about the way we were being messed about. On the other hand, I think that people probably recognised the necessity for it and respected the fact that he had a job to do.
Now, in these training exercises and things, you were still a very inexperienced soldier, but what was your opinion of the competence of the 14th Battalion, for what it matters? I realise you wouldn't have a...
That would be... This is a very retrospective look, because at the time, I wouldn't have any yardstick by which to measure the competence of the thing we were doing at all. But in retrospect, I think they were, as it were, a mediocre, competent battalion. But because they were, as it were, just a unit which fed other units, or fed, fed their deficiencies abroad, they were never really at full strength, nor did they have complete continuity to become what you might call a very good fighting unit.
Was there a feeling that they wanted to be a proper battalion within the unit? Would they have rather?
Indeed, the colonel is up for a chip, I believe. And he was always trying to look at the unit as though it might be a sensible as he did his best to do that. I remember.